I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Saturday on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette means it's time for the Acrisure Fan Advantage. We talk about this every week on Saturdays or the day before the game. We bring in an opponent expert on the Steelers' upcoming team. That's the Los Angeles Rams. We got Rich Hammond, senior editor at the Athletic. He knows all things Rams. We're going to talk a lot about this matchup here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. As I said before, I'm your host, Chris Carter. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can also check out this show Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays here on the Post-Gazette Sports channel, whether you're on your favorite podcasting platform or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from all our different sports beats that we cover here at the Post-Gazette. This episode is brought to you by the Acrisure Fan Advantage, where all year long, the Acrisure Fan Advantage gets you closer to the team than ever before. Get exclusive answers to your Steelers on the Friday episode when we have Steelers insider Brian Batko on the show, and then an in-depth conversation with an opponent expert each week here in the Acrisure Fan Advantage. This week, it's Rich Hammond. You can read his work at The Athletic. Rich, there's been a lot of talk about the Steelers getting ready for Aaron Donald. Literally, their practice, I don't know how many people know this, but their practice facility is shared with the University of Pittsburgh's football team, and the weight room is literally named after Aaron Donald. He paid for it, everything. During the offseason, he's always here, and you see him walking around, you're like, oh, hey, what's up, Aaron? And so it's kind of funny to now, it's like it's that time of the year where they're playing Aaron Donald, and there's been a lot of talk about that. But who are the Rams talking about the most on the flip side about their most concern about the Steelers in this game?
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on with the Rams right now, none of it particularly good if you're talking about the offensive side of the ball. I guess I would just start with saying that they're going to be most concerned about the Steelers' defensive front in general, and that's because in part because they're always strong up front, and everybody knows that when you play the Steelers, you gotta pack a lunch bag. Like it's not going to be an easy afternoon or an easy evening. And what complicates that even more is that the Rams are now down two of their top running backs. They committed to running the ball in the second half last week, and what did it lead them to? Well, it led them to a victory over Arizona, but it also led them to losing Kyren Williams and Ronnie Rivers, both to injury. Ronnie Rivers is out for multiple weeks. Kyren Williams, it looks like, is going to be out multiple weeks also. So the Rams they put out a big billboard on the side, like running backs wanted, who's going to show up, and they got Miles Gaskin in the building, and they got Daryl Henderson in the building, who they had for a while, a former Rams draft pick who got cut. So taking it back to answer your question, I think the Rams' main concern right now is they need to do something to keep Matthew Stafford upright. They know that the Steelers are going to be pinning their ears back and coming for Matthew Stafford because of that uncertainty in the run game. So they need to win those battles up front. They need to keep those Steelers off the line of scrimmage, out of the backfield, and somehow manage to cobble together some kind of run game. Otherwise, I think the Steelers are just going to try to tee off on Matthew Stafford.
What is the feeling on the Rams offensive line so far? Because I know they added Steve Avila, and you know he was a second round pick this year, and he was the big add there. But this is an offensive line. I think they've given him 14 sacks through their first six games, and there's been questions about it. They added Kevin Dotson, former Steeler. He's on the roster. It's kind of a backup that switches between the guard positions. But how have they performed in your eyes so far? Because the Steelers, they've had some really good weeks where they control the offense, the Browns offensive line against in the pass rush. But then they played an entire Texans team that had basically all backup offensive linemen, and they are the ones that got pushed around. So they've been up and down a lot. Where's the Rams offensive line stand?
Yeah, I would say, you know, kind of similar about the Rams offensive line, a little bit up and down. You know, they went through some changes late in training camp, which you really don't like to see. That's never an indication that you're real secure in what you're doing. They took a while to decide on their left tackle, and then when they did, they moved their left tackle to right guard, and they've had a couple injuries, knick-knack things. You mentioned Kevin Dotson. They've had some issues at center with guys coming in and out, Coleman Shelton being banged up for a little bit. So that hasn't helped. It never does. But you know, the other thing that hasn't helped is that inconsistency with the run game, too. They haven't committed to it, and they haven't been able to really establish any kind of flow or rhythm and get some momentum going. Too often, they've just been throwing. And what that does is puts you in a kind of a defensive posture a lot. And that's the way that the offensive line has to play, you know, play in the pass rush. So I don't think they've really maximized it, but also there's some consistency issues. I mean, they don't have they have a real stable right tackle in Rob Havenstein, who's been there forever, going back to the St. Louis days. So he that tells you how long he's been there. And then, like you said, they've got a young guy, Steve Avila, who's been playing well, but is still a young guy. And then they've had a little bit of uncertainty at that left tackle position. So it definitely is an area of concern, especially when you have a quarterback back there who has a long history of injuries, and you never know what's going to happen. So that's why I said they need to have a good game from that offensive line. They need to get the run game committed, you know, try to establish some kind of rhythm there. And most importantly, whatever they got to do to protect Matthew Stafford, whether it's rolling him out a little bit, you know, getting, you know, two steps and get rid of the ball, whatever it is, they need to make that their top priority, because like you said, that Steelers defense, even though there may be some consistency issues, there's definitely a lot of talent there.
The Rams offense is right now 17th in rushing yards in the NFL, but the Steelers run defense is 28th. I think that's where a lot of people are, 29th. I was reading the rushing offense. It hasn't been too good on the ground for the Steelers on either front so far. But I do think the Steelers might have found something against the Ravens 2 weeks ago, right before their bye. Their run defense had been struggling. And then in the second half of that game, especially, you saw guys like Quan Alexander, Cole Holcomb, they came in and they were able to get plays from their linebackers, and they were able to go in, kind of feel out the defensive line. And this is very much a defensive line that yes, TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith, they are the big names that are going to attract all the attention, but the interior has been kind of makeshift. Larry Ogunjobi's been dealing with an injury for pretty much all season. He showed up pretty big in that game, but also rookie Keanu Benton out of Wisconsin has been an asset to them, and they've been trying to figure out that third piece. Marvin Leal looks like he'll be back from his concussion this week, which means he'll probably be the starter with that group. But Montrevious Adams, Armin Watts, they've been rotating guys in there to figure out that pace. And I think that's been the biggest struggle for the Steelers on the defensive front, is that they have a bunch of guys who are still kind of feeling each other out and knowing how their fits work together with different looks. And the teams that have presented more, I think, a wider variety of looks to have to consider, like the Texans did, they have been the units that have given this run defense the most trouble. Do you see that still that complexity in the Rams run game with Sean McVay? He's one of those coaches that tries to be more innovative on the offensive side of the ball, or is that something that you think might actually be limited because of the running back situation this week?
Yeah, that's the big question here. I don't know what level of confidence he's going to have there. And that's always kind of the issue, is he going to commit to it? That's kind of the question. If you look at the history of Sean McVay, and by the way, I feel like I should put this disclaimer on this, and that Sean McVay has been here for 6 years, and the number of good things that he has done outweighs the number of criticisms by like a factor of 10. So I don't mean this to be a criticism of Sean McVay, but if you look at one thing that he does, it's he will consistently, when things start to go a little wobbly, he will abandon the run as quickly as he possibly can, because he trusts his off. He's always trusted his quarterback. He trusts himself in those play calls, in those pass calls. So that's his, like, his security blanket. It's what he goes back to when he feels like he needs to, which is understandable. And in a lot of cases probably might be the right thing to do. But what it does is takes you exactly out of what you're just talking about there. It takes you out of that balance. It takes you out of that complexity. It takes you out of being more difficult to defend if people know you're just going to throw the ball 8-9 times in a row. So sometimes what the Rams do, you're not going to get run over by the Rams. Like, let's be very clear here. Like, if you see a game where the Rams rush for 200 yards, something really weird has happened. But what you need to see there, if you're the Rams, is just enough. It's kind of like eating your vegetables, you know, like you're not going to eat a whole plate of vegetables, right? But just mix in enough, mix in that serving so that you got a little bit of a balanced diet, right? And then when the Rams do that, that's when they're at the best. It's setting up that pass, it's keeping the defense honest. And when you look at the games when they've struggled or when they've got a little bit out of their sorts this year, you know, the Cincinnati game, the second half against San Francisco, where you just start throwing the ball around, that's where they run into trouble. So it'll be interesting just to see. Now, these guys haven't come in. Miles Gaskin has no familiarity with this offense at all. Daryl Henderson does a bit, but he's been gone for a while. And even when he was here, he wasn't, heavily involved in the offense. They do have Zach Evans, who they drafted and who's gotten a little bit of time. But that's just going to be the big question. With a 1 week of practice, with only 3-4 days out there, is he going to trust these guys? Is he going to give them the number of carries, or is this just going to be a Matthew Stafford shootout game and the Rams throw the ball 40 times? I could see it going either way, but that's the question that Sean McVay has to answer for himself.
On the other side of this upcoming break, I want to talk to you about Matt Stafford, because to me, that's the biggest thing the Steelers need to be concerned with this game, is making sure that he does not take over in throwing the ball. The Steelers have given up a lot of passing yards this year. They've been able to be opportunistic and create turnovers. I want to talk to you about how they might be able to do that against the Rams here on the North Shore Drive podcast. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Acrisure, as they present all season long the Acrisure Fan Advantage. This year, the Fan Advantage brings you closer to the game and the team than ever before, because each week you get to ask questions that appear right on the show. Last week, we did a whole mailbag with myself and Brian Batko, giving you an in-depth discussion on the team. And this week, as always, whenever there is a Steelers opponent, we go over that opponent with an expert each week. This week is Rich Hammond. Next week, we get you ready for the Jaguars. Tune in every Friday and the day before each Steelers game to get the Acrisure Fan Advantage, and submit your questions at acrisure.com/fanadvantage for more information and to submit those questions today.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, it's the Acrisure Fan Advantage from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Rich Hammond from The Athletic. Rich, I want to talk to you about Matt Stafford, because the Steelers, they have a lot of respect for Stafford. They have a lot of respect for Cooper Kupp. They noticed what Puka Nacua has been doing this year. How have you seen Matt Stafford this year? He was injured a lot last year, dealt with serious problems coming off the Super Bowl win. I've seen some really good moments from Matt Stafford in the times that I've looked at the Rams and just been trying to keep up with what they're doing. And it seems like he's still that savvy quarterback that knows when to get the ball out. To me, if I'm the Rams, I'm coming into this game, and my number one thing is, Matt, do not hold on to this ball. Do not try to like buy time. Get the ball out quick, hit the soft spots of the Steelers zone defense, and take those easy yards with your guys instead of trying to make bigger plays downfield like he often does, because he still has a powerful arm. How have you seen Matt Stafford coming throughout the season, and how he looks going into this week?
Yeah, I feel like I don't need to say anything. I think he's just summed it up pretty well there. I'll contrast it to last season when he was clearly dealing with some stuff. The Rams, even after the season, didn't really want to get into exactly what he was dealing with. But Sean McVay made it very clear that, you know, some weeks it was a victory just to get him on the field sometimes, which kind of speaks to kind of what he was going through. So you see it just in general, I would say, over the six games, you see that confidence level is higher. You see him out there not afraid to make any throws. And some, I think that fits into what you're saying here, is sometimes you should be afraid to make some throws, because when Matthew Stafford does get himself into trouble, it's when he does try to make those hero ball plays a little bit, when he doesn't just take the simple play, the easy play, the 5-6 yards and live to see another down, and he's trying to make something happen downfield or into double coverage or whatever it may be. There's enough talent on that team, even with the running back situation, there's enough talent there that he doesn't have to do that. Now, if the opportunities are there, absolutely, you take a shot. I'm not saying, dink and dunk for the entire game, but he needs to be cognizant of that. He needs to know that he has some weapons out there, that he can spread the ball around, that not every play has to be 40 yards downfield. I think he's learned from that. I think if you look at his career, he's evolved a little bit. He's gotten more, I don't want to say conservative, but he's reined that in a little bit. Right. And I'm sure Sean McVay has helped with that too. But yeah, I agree 100%. That's in the face of everything that we're talking about here, the run game being uncertain, the offensive line, I think that's the way to go. You know, identify yourself some quick plays, some quick targets, get yourself 5 yards on first down, you know, get ahead of the sticks, put yourself in second and short, third and short, then your playbook opens up considerably. That's what the Rams have to do. When they start facing those second long, third and long, that's when Matthew Stafford gets himself in a little bit of trouble because he thinks he has to make the play. He has to be the hero in that situation. So take what's there, take the easy stuff. Tyler Higbee is a great target. People forget about him sometimes with all the talk about, you know, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua now, but Tyler Higbee is a very reliable guy, good hands, can find a way to get open. Again, I would just say that take your 4, 5, 6 yards, consider it a victory and try to keep ahead of those sticks. But yeah, he's been there, Matthew Stafford. You look at the touchdown interception ratio, not good. He's had a couple of games there that got really sideways on him, throwing a couple of picks. When the Rams offense was getting a little stagnant. So both he and Sean McVay can kind of get into that mindset of like, we have to do something, we have to make a play. And that's when they get in a little bit of trouble. So I think if they keep it calm, even if it's a tight game, even if it's a low scoring game, keep it calm, take what's there. And just don't stand there. That's the big thing. Don't make yourself a statue. Don't make yourself a target, because that's when you're going to get into some trouble here.
You brought up his touchdown interception ratio. It's 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Yeah. That itself does lend itself to the Steelers being a little bit. The Steelers aren't a team that's looking to try to just stop you all the time. You know, a lot of people think this to the great Steelers defenses, even in the Mike Tomlin era, and how they would limit you just yard by yard. And you've seen this kind of transition in recent years where they acknowledge, like, you know what, the NFL rules don't really lend itself to being about stopping yards. It's about creating turnovers and creating big plays. And that's why the Steelers, they're great at getting after the quarterback, and they have guys that have good hands in the secondary. Granted, they're struggling in keeping up with guys in the secondary, but when they've been thrown passes that can be intercepted, they've taken advantage of that. Even rookie Joey Porter Jr., who was said to not be an intercepting cornerback in the draft, had an interception the one time Lamar Jackson threw at him in the Ravens game in a huge moment in that one. And that's where it comes down to Matt Stafford for me, is what you said. The Steelers, that's their MO on defense. They win on first and second down to force those third and longs to try to get, let TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith pin their ears back, go after their guys. They'll only rush 3 or 4, and then they'll let their secondary try to confuse the quarterback and either make him hold on to the ball or throw a pass that he regrets just a moment later there. And I look at Stafford, and one of the things that I think can hurt the Steelers are quarterbacks who are able to move around in the pocket, or at least just try to feel out that pressure and say, hey, I'm going to go get over here, buy myself a little bit more time to process what I'm reading downfield. Stafford, when he was with the Lions, I saw him do that all the time. Is he still doing that now at this point in his career?
Well, we all, whether you're an NFL quarterback or just a person, you don't move as fast as you did a couple. I know
very,
I don't.
Very true.
Nature runs its course a little bit. But I would say, look, he's never going to win a foot race. But I think it's exactly what you're talking about. It's knowing the pocket. It's having a sense of like, okay, even if it's just I need to take 2 steps up here because I feel that pressure's coming, or I just need to get out a little bit. Yeah, he's not going to run 20 yards downfield, but if he needs to get out of the pocket and, you know, pick up 3 yards or pick up 4 yards for a first down, he can do that. Like he has that sense. But really, I'm just wondering if you don't design that even a little bit more, like for what you're talking about, whether it's play action or whether it's just rolling him a little bit to move that pocket, change the angle a little bit. The Rams don't do as much of that as I would think they would, especially with some of the situations they've been dealing with here. But I would try it. And it's something that I think might work when considering all these things that we're talking about. Play action is an element of their game, you know, RPO stuff, whatever it may be. But I'm just wondering if you might want to design that a little bit more to get him away from that direct pressure. But yeah, he can move, but nobody's going to confuse him for a gazelle out there. That's for sure.
my last point here before we move to the next segment and start talking about predictions for this game. I look at the Rams receivers, and that's like to me, like if the Steelers, if the Rams are concerned about the Steelers edge rushers, the Steelers need to be concerned about the Rams receivers. Puka Nacua was lighting it up in the early weeks when Cooper Kupp was injured. Now Cooper Kupp's back and he's pretty good. And Tutu Atwell is also someone that you have to respect here. What have you seen from them that's been really good? We know about Cooper Kupp. I mean, the Steelers have played him before. That we know how elite of a receiver he is and how great of a route runner, how sharp he is, how he kills you as soon as he catches the ball. But Puka Nacua, what have you seen from him and how this receiving core has kind of evolved this season with Matt Stafford?
Yeah, you know, if people go back to the Rams of a few years ago in the early Sean McVay era when they had Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods back there, that's really what they're trying to replicate here with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Just in terms, but Puka Nacua is not Robert Woods yet. Let me be clear about that. Robert Woods has a much better resume, but that's the thing that they're trying to replicate. Cooper Kupp is always going to be the alpha dog in this offense. He's always going to be the lead target, the one that Matthew Stafford looks at. But Puka Nacua can find those seams. And then you talked about Tutu Atwell too, is a guy who's proven this year, surprisingly to a lot of Rams fans, if we're being honest, that he isn't just a gadget guy. Like that was kind of the thought over the first couple of years was, yeah, he's fast, he can get down the field, but unless he catches a 50-yard bomb, he's not going to have any role in the offense. Well, he's changed that narrative this year to his credit. I think he's worked himself in. He's a lot more of a crisp route runner. He's had good hands. So he is a guy who can, you know, run a 10-yard out and get you a good first down. He's not just a gadget player down the field or a deep threat. So it's been challenging, I think. They played four games without Cooper Kupp, and that's where they worked in Puka Nacua, and he had such a big impact. Cooper Kupp's been back for the last two games. I think they've kept their balance relatively well. That is something to watch with Matthew Stafford, is he does have a tendency to lock in on Cooper Kupp at times. And when that happens, that's it's understandable, but also puts your offense in a little bit of jeopardy there when you're locking in on one guy. So if you're watching the game and you see a lot of target going to Cooper Kupp, then you can see him starting to lock in a little bit. And that's where the Rams might get a little sideways with their pass game. Spread that ball around. Mention Tyler Higbee. Get him involved. Mention Tutu Atwell. Take a shot with Tutu Atwell. Make sure you're spreading the ball. You know, throw the ball to a tight end. Darrell Henderson can catch the ball. He showed that in his first stint with the Rams. So vary those targets. Keep people involved. But Cooper, there's no question about it. Cooper Kupp is still going to be the lead guy. He's looked really good in his two games coming back. You didn't know how that was going to look coming off of a long hamstring injury, but he really looked like himself and looked like he's just as big a threat in that offense as he's ever been.
Look, my fantasy team's been waiting for Cooper Kupp to come back in a lot of ways, so I'm glad to see Cooper Kupp back in this offense. But I wanted to talk more about you with predictions, how we see this game playing out, and what both teams are going to have to do to win this game. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break here on the North Shore Drive podcast. It's the AcroSure Fan Advantage with Chris Carter and Rich Hammond. We'll be right back after this. Back here on the AcroSure Fan Advantage, Chris Carter, Rich Hammond from The Athletic. Let's talk about what's going to go on in this game. If the Rams are going to win this one, Rich, what's the biggest thing that they have to do? We've talked a lot about winning those early downs on offense. What are maybe some notes on defense as well that they have to accomplish?
Yeah, it's you spend some time talking there about the Steelers defense and the Rams are I don't want to say similar, but the mindset is they want to prevent those explosive plays. Like that's Rams fans get frustrated at times with their own defense because they give up stuff. You know, they'll give up the tens, the 12s, they'll get you to midfield and then they'll try to lock it down on you a little bit. What they want to avoid is those 20, 25, 30 yard plays. If they start giving up those, that's when you know that defense is kind of on the ropes. And you can say that about any defense, of course, but the way that this Rams defense is designed, that's what they want to do. They want to keep things in front of you. They want the quarterback to have to be perfect, essentially. They want to capitalize when he's not perfect. They want to get the edge rushers going. Everybody knows about Aaron Donald. Everybody's known about Aaron Donald for the last, you know, 8 and 10 years, whatever it's been now. But they got to get that outside pressure going. They got a young guy, Byron Young, who's been a little bit inconsistent, but when you see him flash, when you see that number zero out there on the perimeter, he can make some plays. He can get to the quarterback. And when the Rams when the Rams defense is clicking, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing Aaron Donald, of course, being a disruptive force in the middle, but you're seeing a guy like Byron Young on the outside bringing some pressure also, forcing that quarterback into some uncomfortable throws, which is when that defense that likes to keep things in front of it likes to make the plays can capitalize. If you give the quarterback time, if you stretch that defense, that secondary a little bit, that's when they can lighten up a little bit and you can make some plays down the field. I think they got to keep it a low scoring game. I think both teams are probably looking at that. You know, I see the winning score probably being somewhere in the low 20s for whichever team. If you see it creeping higher than that, I think we're, you know, probably looking at a runaway situation for one of these teams. But I don't think that's been the MO for either one of these teams. It's been low scoring, manage the turnovers, you know, try to score about 21 to 28 points and win the game. So that's kind of how I see this playing out. I'm not a gambler, but I'm not sure what the over under is, but I'd be looking at the under in this one, I think.
I would as well. If I look at this game, I think that when you see these teams, I listen to a lot of coaches and how they talk about things, you know, when they're not necessarily in front of a podium. And Sean McVay had his podcast, you know, a year ago. And I've listened to Sean McVay just praise Mike Tomlin a ton in his time as a coach. He respects Mike Tomlin to the nth degree. He's always saying like how he does a lot of things right. And I think both teams are kind of in a situation where they have assets on their roster, but they know their rosters aren't complete in the way that they like to be when they're competing for Super Bowls. The Rams, they loaded up with free agents to get that Super Bowl win. And now they're kind of dealing with, okay, we have to try to stay afloat while we try to find that next core that's going to push us into that conversation. I think the Steelers right now, they're in a kind of a different spot where it's similar in that they're trying to stay afloat in something, but they're also hoping that the rookies that they've been drafting, like Kenny Pickett, like Najee Harris, like Pat Freiermuth, is now out for this game, by the way, which is an interesting storyline there. But they're trying to also stay afloat while that. And I think while you're doing that, the best thing you can do is try to eke out games in tough situations, get other teams to come into the mud with you and see how that goes. Now, you mentioned the over-under. FanDuel currently has it at 43.5 is the over-under. That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
That's like right at the cusp of where if it was like 46 or 47, I'd be like, okay, I'm taking the under there. But 43.5, I can see these teams, someone get, you know, both getting into the low 20s, the way that they both played here. So,
that's a tough one.
Sometimes I hate Vegas. Like, just give me an easy win. That's all I want. I just want my money.
Yeah, right. Come on, Vegas. Make it easy for us to win money, right? Yeah,
exactly. No. But I look at this game, and I think it's what you talked about on defense, you know, trying to force similar situations. I think this game is going to come down to, and I said this with Brian Batko a little bit, I think it's going to come down to TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith, that defensive front versus Aaron Donald. Which defensive front makes it uncomfortable for the opposing quarterback faster in this game? Which defensive front becomes a lot more disruptive? That very matchup, who's beat the other opponent's offensive line faster in this game and more often, I think that could be the biggest factor here. And whereas I do think the Steelers, they have maybe, you know, having two guys that are premier players right now in Highsmith and Watt could be an advantage. I think one thing that the Rams really have going for them is Aaron Donald against Mason Cole, who's the Steelers center, and he has not played well this year. Last year, he was a huge stabilizing presence for the Steelers offense because he was able to kind of manage it well, be a decent center, and kind of keep everyone on the same page. And he's still doing that this year, but he's not able to win as many one-on-ones. And against Aaron Donald, you cannot afford to leave him in single and just by himself, which means Isaac Seumalo, James Daniels, those guys are going to have to be really attentive in helping Aaron Donald. And that can be something that the Rams easily scheme off of to create more confusion on that Steelers front.
Yeah, and I'll throw one more name at you from the Rams. You know, Kobe Turner is a young guy, number 91, who they've been working in, and he can play. When the Rams defense has been at their best, you know, you look consistently over the last few years, it's not just Aaron Donald up there. They've needed to pair him with somebody to do exactly what you're saying, to minimize those double and triple teams that he can sometimes get. You know, last year was A'shaun Robinson. You know, in the other Super Bowl year, they had Ndamukong Suh. They've had various guys up there who they've tried to pair with Aaron Donald up front to make it a little bit easier for him. They like what Kobe Turner's been doing there. Now, there's a few consistency issues because he is a young guy, but if they can get that going too, like if he can be a force up there next to Aaron Donald, that's when that Rams front is really at its best. So I really see Kobe Turner as being kind of a hinge guy to this too. But yeah, they like to move Aaron Donald around a lot. They like to get him in matchups that are advantageous. They will put him just about anywhere if they think he can get to the quarterback. He only has 2.5 sacks in six games, which is well off of his is, you know, what you would consider to be Aaron Donald pace when you look at his career. So he hasn't really had a game where he's gotten going this year. So I don't know. You talked about Pittsburgh. There's nobody. I don't know whether there's five people in Pittsburgh who love Pittsburgh more than Aaron Donald does. So, he's going to be motivated for this game. You know, he's going to want to play very well. So I don't know. We'll see if this is a little bit of his quote unquote breakout game this year. But I agree with your assessment 100%.
The only two times Aaron Donald has played the Steelers have won. Last time was 2019. They won 17-12 in Pittsburgh. And the time before that was in St. Louis, and the Steelers won 12-6 in a late September game. So a lot of those have been hitting the under here. Let's get to our score predictions. I've given my score prediction on the Friday episode here with Brian Batko. I picked the Rams to win 24-20. I think that it does hit the over here, simply because I think that there's both these defenses create opportunities that give short fields that these offenses capitalize on. But I got the Rams finding a way to win because of the mismatches they can create with their receivers. I think that Matt Stafford will be smart enough in this game to stay out of those rough spots. He'll make some mistakes and the Steelers defense will capitalize on it. But Kenny Pickett in this offense, I think the Steelers can win this game. This is a very much of a coin flip of a game for me when it comes to picking it. I look at Aaron Donald and the problems the Steelers have had up front. If they come out and neutralize him, and neutralize doesn't mean completely erase him, you know, out of the game. Last time they played, he had six tackles and only one sack, but that's what you'll take if Aaron Donald just gets that against you. If they can do that, they can win this game. I'm just not so sure this offensive line will coming into this week, and that creates problems. But what's your prediction and the biggest factors in this game that will lead to the result that you see coming?
Yeah, I agree with your assessment 100% there. Even I said I'm not a gambler, and I am not. Even if I was, this is not a game that I would take on. Just because I think if you put everything out there, I do like the Rams. I do like them narrowly. I'm just speaking as, you know, somebody who's making a prediction here. I would be concerned about that Rams offense. The first half against Arizona, they scored 6 points. 6 points against the Arizona Cardinals, and they were healthy in that half. Like, that's a little bit of a concern. Like, you can talk about the issues that the Steelers have, but if they can get themselves a 10-0 or 13-0 lead in the first half, that's going to be really, really difficult for the Rams. So I think that start is important, but I come back to the same thing that you do, Chris. Like, I think that Rams defense is not going to allow the game to happen. They're not going to allow that to happen. They're not going to allow the Steelers to get out front like that. I think they keep it close. I think the Rams offense does kind of play its way into this a little bit. I'm still going to take the under, even though that's a very tantalizing number to hit. I see something like maybe 21-17 Rams. Like, I see both teams being right around there. Big factors, I think, turnovers. I know that's always a case in a close game or in a game with two teams that are close, but they got to take care of the ball. Both quarterbacks got to take care of the ball. And, you know, if Stafford throws a couple more, then I can easily see that flipping the other way and being, you know, 24-21 Steelers or 21-20 Steelers or whatever. So I would not bet on this game. I would not recommend that any of your listeners, viewers, use my advice in any way to make their gambling decisions. But I do think that the Rams, I agree with you. I think the defense is going to be just enough to eke this one out.
I think it's going to be a close showdown. He's Rich Hammond from The Athletic. Rich, thanks so much for joining us here. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, appreciate that. No, great team at The Athletic. Everybody can come on board. My Twitter or X, whatever we call it now, Rich _ Hammond. And looking forward to a good game. Love the people of Pittsburgh. Always enjoyed my trips there. Hope I get to see a lot of Steelers fans. I know it'll be in full force. So looking forward to a great game.
Absolutely. He's Rich Hammond. I'm Chris Carter here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thanks again for tuning in to the Acrisure Fan Advantage. You can get all of these expert episodes where we're talking about the Steelers' upcoming opponent the day before the game. We'll have that again next week against the Jaguars. Again, thanks to Rich. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you Sunday. Tune in to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's podcast channel for all of these episodes, whether it's on your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube. Also, read all our work at post-gazette.com. Our team, Brian, Ray, Jerry, they'll be in Los Angeles covering the game. We'll have our post-game thoughts after the game right here on the North Shore Drive podcast with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.